Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to start this broadcast by saying that America has just voted for socialism, or worse, communism. And this is something I would have said no matter which direction the election took. And I say that because the popular vote in America today has decisively headed toward the socialist dogma of legislators such as Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris couldn't have been clearer. She contrasted equality with equity, and she concluded that her government needs to ensure both. This is so chilling. I thought it would be best for you to hear it with your own ears. Here's what Kamala Harris tweeted out just a few days ago, November 1st.
So there's a big difference between equality and equity. Equality suggests, oh, everyone should get the same amount. The problem with that, not everybody's starting out from the same place. So if we're all getting the same amount, but you started out back there and I started out over here, we could get the same amount, but you're still gonna be that far back behind me. It's about giving people the resources and the support they need so that everyone can be on equal footing and then compete on equal footing. Equitable treatment means we all end up at the same place.
Listen to that conclusion. Equitable treatment, she says, means we all end up at the same place, which is, of course, the quintessence of Marxist communism. Texas Congressman Dan Crenshaw, he responded appropriately when he said that Harris has delivered the false promise of the left, and that in a minute soundbite. Started with a well-intentioned point on equality of opportunity, and then end it with the true Marxist intent, equity in outcomes. And they leave out the part where equity must be enforced with unequal and tyrannical treatment. I think it's fair to say that everyone desires, or should desire, equality of opportunity. But government-enforced equity of outcome, ensuring we all end up at the same place, as Harris put it? Well, that's the steel-toed soul of communism. What was once far off, like the faint light of an oncoming freight train, is now upon us. Despotic tyranny, in which unequal and tyrannical treatment seeks to supplant democratic freedom. Ironically, while mainstream media, while big tech pushed the propaganda that Russia is inordinately influencing our elections, Kamala and her comrades have been busily emulating the bygone extremism of the former Soviet Union, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. I find it mind-boggling to contemplate the reality that a sitting U.S. senator overtly espouses, and that without camouflage, a communist maxim: equality of outcomes enforced through the tyrannical machinery of government instrumentality. All of this is part of a word crisis that we wrote about in the Christian Research Journal. There we quote Carl Henry, who rightly defined this time of trouble as a crisis of word, a linguistic crisis that has flowered into fragmentation, into outrage, into semantic terrorism, a crisis in which Christians find themselves in the crosshairs of a virulent pandemic. Post-truth critics, including candidates for the highest office in our land, routinely castigate those who stand in opposition to their redefinition of words. They're labeled intolerant and hateful and ignorant and xenophobic and an imminent and existential threat to the noble quest for a progressive future. And we can't say that President Ronald Reagan didn't warn us. Remember what he said? Freedom, he said, is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It has to be fought for. It has to be protected, handed on for them to do the same, which is to hand it on. Or one day, we're going to spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States when we were once free. I've quoted Jacob Neusner on this very point in one of my books. Neusner is one of the most published authors in history, and he hauntingly reminds us that civilization hangs suspended from generation to generation by the gossamer strand of memory. If only one cohort of mothers and fathers fails to convey to its children what it has learned from its parents, then the great chain of learning and wisdom snaps. If the guardians of human knowledge stumble only one time in their fall, collapses the whole edifice of knowledge and understanding. Alarming but true. A majority of our children and our children's children have stamped their imprimatur on the socialist narrative. Large majorities from the U.S. to Thailand to Brazil to around the world now brazenly oppose Christian capitalism, oppose responsibility associated with wealth. They've forgotten, maybe never realized, that capitalism discourages hoarding and it encourages enterprise. Truth be told, this shift is hardly due to a solid understanding of the horrors of Kamala-style socialism. Rather, it's a repercussion and consequence of post-truth education. How many young Americans know that in the mid-20th century, half the human race was subject to a grand socialist experiment? That Stalin orchestrated the largest-scale massacre of the domestic population in human history, and not all that long ago? That Mao's Cultural Revolution saw the deaths of untold millions, that Pol Pot's Khmer Rouge attempted to create a socialist egalitarian society, and in less than 4 years, think about it, 4 years, the term of a president decimated one quarter of the Cambodian population. And Lenin, well, he wanted to create the ideal man in an ideal society, to draw heaven down to earth. And Lenin, yes, John Lennon, immortalized Vladimir Lenin's maxim in song. You know the song, "Imagine there's no heaven, it's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for just today. Imagine there's no country, no borders. It isn't hard to do, nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too." In truth, the more money government confiscates for counterproductive welfare programs, the less money available for charities. Why? Because money is not omnipresent. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about what Hoover Institute economist Thomas Sowell had to say about all of this. Thanks for tuning into this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We're going to be back with much, much more, so please don't touch that dial.
John Chrysostom's Christian classic on wealth and poverty is full of timeless truth. To absorb its message is to be eternally transformed. What we do for the poor and the downtrodden, those in need of food and water, and those who hunger and thirst for the riches of Christ's kingdom, reflects the ultimate reality of our inner state, revealing whether we are of Christ or whether we are not. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
In John Chrysostom's Christian classic on wealth and poverty, the words of Christ take center stage. "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. As you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did to me." On Wealth and Poverty is full of timeless truth, and to absorb its message is to be eternally transformed. What we do for the poor and the downtrodden, those in need of food and water, and those who hunger and thirst for the riches of Christ's kingdom, reflects the ultimate reality of our inner state, revealing whether we are of Christ or whether we are not. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I'm talking on today's broadcast about the socialism in our midst, a socialism now inculcated into American culture. Just before the break, I talked about Hoover Institution economist Thomas Sowell, who said the great promise of socialism is something for nothing. It is one of the signs of today's dumbed-down education that so many college students seem to think that the cost of their education should and will be paid by raising taxes on the rich. Here again, just a little check of the facts should reveal that higher taxes on upper-income earners do not automatically translate into more tax revenue coming into the government. Often, high tax rates have led to less revenue than lower tax rates. In a globalized economy, high tax rates may just lead investors to invest in other countries with lower tax rates. That means that jobs created by those investments will be overseas. None of this is rocket science, but you do have to stop and think. And that is what too many of our schools and colleges are failing to teach their students to do. Capitalism is not based on greed. Capitalism is based on innovation, imagination, trust. As Steve Forbes once said, capitalism is based on trust. Transactions in free markets are about achieving the greatest possible advantage, but that advantage must be mutual. The baker or the butcher sells you food in exchange for your money. This relationship is based on self-interest, but for a transaction to occur, each party must benefit. And Jay Richards, one of my favorites I've had on the broadcast many times, said, capitalism doesn't need greed, but it can channel greed. We should want a social order that channels proper self-interest as well as selfishness into socially desirable outcomes. Any system that requires everyone always to act selflessly is doomed to failure because it's utopian. That's the problem with socialism. It doesn't fit the human condition. It alienates people from their rightful self-interest and channels selfishness into socially destructive behavior, behavior such as stealing, hoarding, looting, rioting, getting the government to steal for you. Wherever there is protected private property, capitalism is in play. Capitalism is not just about material, it's about productivity. Capitalism discourages hoarding, encourages enterprise. We are concerned with concentrated power? Well, in the irony of the ages, we are in process of handing over more and more of our prerogatives, our privacies, to big tech and big government. But what is Marxism? In the Communist Manifesto written by Marx and Engels, the Marxist ideology is described as a series of struggles between oppressors and the oppressed, between dominant and disadvantaged, each struggle punctuated by social disruption in which one system gives rise to another. According to the manifesto, the ideal state of humanity was realized as a sort of primal communism in which the notion of private property was repudiated. And capitalism is viewed as the ultimate evil, an evil that is now sowing the seeds of its own destruction by creating rich bourgeoisie capitalists and an oppressed proletariat working class. Marx predicted that the oppressed proletariats would riot, revolt, loot, and that this would lead inexorably towards the dictatorship of the proletariat, a dictatorship in which the state would own all industry and where eventually the state would give way to the utopian brotherhood of all humanity, like Kamala. The Communist Manifesto presents an unvarnished agenda. These ends, read the manifesto, can be obtained by the forcible overthrow of existing social conditions. Let the ruling classes tremble at the communist revolution. The proletariats have nothing to lose but their chains. Working men of all countries unite, they say, for when we prevail and our utopia is ushered in, there'll be no religion, no possessions, only the brotherhood of man. Marxism, then, is a secular humanist experiment attempting to establish a godless kingdom on earth. Not all that long ago, mid-20th century, virtually half of all humanity was held captive. Captive to an ambitious Marxist experiment. What was the result? 100 years ago, prices were a million times greater than when the revolution began. Productivity and employment plummeted, as did all standard of living metrics. There were food shortages, mass strikes, famine, drought. Marxism, as Kamala Harris knows full well, did not produce human freedom, but rather produced food shortages, produced starvation. And what about freedom of speech? Well, I think we ought to hear Vladimir Lenin's direct words in this regard. It's chilling, but he said this: "Why should freedom of speech and freedom of press even be allowed? Why should a government which is doing what it believes to be right allow itself to be criticized? It would not allow opposition by lethal weapons. Ideas are much more fatal things than guns. Why should any man be allowed to buy a printing press and disseminate pernicious opinions calculated to embarrass the government?" The attempt to create the ideal man in the ideal society, the attempt to draw heaven down to earth, to negate the Christian verity that socialism only works in heaven, where we don't need it, and in hell, where they already have it, all of that has resulted in chaos and calamity. Christian capitalism, by contrast, is not, as it is caricatured by Harris, it is not based on greed. Again, it's based on innovation and imagination and the creative genius that our Creator endowed us with. In Christian capitalism, that conceived of in the context of the Judeo-Christian tradition is glorious in that it discourages hoarding and encourages enterprise. For like the rich man and Lazarus in Christ's parable, we will all give an account of what we have done for the poor and the downtrodden, and if, like the rich man, we have ignored their plight, we will suffer the consequences throughout eternity. St. Basil the Great warned us, "You gorgeously array your walls, but do not clothe your fellow human being. You adorn your horses, but turn away from the shameful plight of your brother or sister. You allow grain to rot in your barns, but do not feed those who are starving. You hide gold in the earth, but ignore the oppressed." Or St. John Chrysostom poignantly put it, "The rich exist for the sake of the poor. The poor," he said, "exist for the salvation of the rich." I'm doing this broadcast because America is on a very dangerous path. And you and I, as the Christian resistance, have been commissioned to teach our children and their children the truths that ultimately transform. I just quoted St. John Chrysostom, his book on wealth and poverty. If your children will grasp these six sermons, their lives will be irrevocably changed for both time and for eternity. This book, available for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. And let me suggest that you get many copies to give away to friends and to get your family members to read as well. Well, thanks for tuning in to this special edition, this timely edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. The beauty of the Christian classic on wealth and poverty is that by absorbing its message, you may well arrive at a true valuation of things. It is a pearl of greatest value in the treasure chest of Christian teachings. Those who absorb its message will be eternally transformed, assured that whatever your status in this life, rich or poor, you will experience the quintessence of wealth in the life that is to come. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty by John Chrysostom, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.